Okay, so how do you say it?
Amud?
No, actually, it's Mahmud.
Mahmud? you did it just fine.
Mahmud? Yeah. Ahmadinejad. Ahmadinejad.
Ahmadinejad.
Ahmadinejad.
Ahmadinejad.
Iranian president.
Mahmud Ahmadinejad.
Iranian president.
Mahmud Ahmadinejad.
Perfect. Okay. So I'll probably just point to you and let do it. All right. Good.
This is the Schnauzer Logic Radio Company.
And this is Schnauzer Logic, episode number 20, back after an extended hiatus, being recorded on Wednesday, July the 19th, 2006.
I wanted to let you know that I've come back.
Once again, I'm back in the place to be.
Hi, we're back!
Do you know?
Back in a moment.
Pardon me while I have a strange interlude.
And once you're gone, you can't come back.
Get back to where you once belong.
The gods look down and laugh.
Meet the new boss. Same as the old boss.
You came back. Oh, I'm so glad.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
Iranian president
Mahmud Ahmadinejad. Mahmud Ahmadinejad.
What?
Mahmud Ahmadinejad.
Yeah, read it.
Iranian president Mahmud Ahmadinejad calls President Bush and tells him, George, I have a wonderful dream. I had a wonderful dream last night. I could see America, the whole beautiful country, and on each house I saw a banner. What did it say on the banner? Bush asks. Mahmud replies, Allah is God. God is Allah. Bush says, you know, Mahmud, I'm really happy.
Mahmud.
Mahmud. Or my mom. I don't know. Bush says, you know, Mahmud, I'm really happy.
I asked you to do this because you're Iranian.
I'm Persian.
Oh, yeah, and you're bald.
I'm follically challenged. Bush says, you know, Mahmud, I'm really happy you called. Last night I had a similar dream. I could see all of Tehran, and it was more beautiful than ever. It had been rebuilt completely, and on each house flew an enormous banner. What could you see on the banner? Mahmud says. Bush replies, I don't know. I can't read Hebrew.
Clinton, liberals, dittos.
I'm Dr. Mora, and I'm my poodle's mother.
Today on All Things Considered to Death, Moss.
Yeah, baby, show me your...
This doesn't bode well, you understand.
With what? I don't understand. Well, no, it doesn't bode well with what?
This is like the first game the Giants played after the All-Star break, right? I mean, uh-huh. this is the first game of the second half of the season. We're supposed to be, you know, slates wiped clean.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
It's perfect. And everything just like right to the just perfect.
I've experienced my whole life people screwing up my name, so I have no guilt whatsoever.
None?
None. People can see my name in print and add an S and a Parvez. It's, no. I have no guilt whatsoever. Mahmud Ahmadinejad.
Now that the joke is over.
It's just as good as me screwing it up.
Yeah, but you messed up the English, too. That's what.
It was all the welcome back, Carter.
God, that loop went forever.
Son of Easton, my friend. Son of Easton, welcome. You have managed to tune in, latch on, and otherwise download that stream of bits known around the world as Schnauzer Logic. Yes, this is Schnauzer Logic, the podcast being recorded on July the 19th, 2006. And my name is Robin Goldstein. I'm your host. I'm your buddy. I'm your pal. I'm also a straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning, and I am thrilled and delighted to be back here at Schnauzer Central to pick up where we left off 6 weeks ago.
I believe so.
It's a long time ago. I mean, it's hard to imagine that much time has passed. And so it's a little bittersweet. It's good to be back in the seat. Good to be back on the air. Good to be here in the studio with Parvez.
It's Mahmood to you.
Sonavista.
Sonavista, Robin.
And sitting in the other chair today is my good friend Sherry Stevens. Sonavista.
Sonavista, Robin.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good. So I've got my gang here. We're rolling with my hoopties.
We're missing a very important gang member.
We're missing Sean.
We're missing Sean.
He's missing in action. We may try to get him on the phone during the show today. We'll explain what's going on there.
It's a big 2-0.
It is. Episode number 20.
Unbelievable.
It's the, that would be like the diamond. Is that the diamond anniversary? I'm going with diamond.
I didn't make it that far, so I don't know.
Diamond is... diamond is 10. 10 years.
Is that right?
Yeah, I believe when you sell 10 million records, you get a diamond. Right? Right?
I don't know.
But when you sell 20, you get wood.
What?
I totally made that up.
Really? Because I was going with it. I was with you.
I'm already lying after 6 weeks.
So, it's a little bittersweet. Because the reason we were off was, as listeners know, and people read the blog know, my mom passed away. And, I think I'm still processing that, you know? That's not the kind of thing that you just sort of deal with and move on. Although the rest of the world, from their point of view, that's really the way it does work, right? Which is like, oh gosh, I'm really sorry to hear your mom died. So anyhow, you know, there's a kind of short little space there. And I understand that, you know, because it doesn't have the same meaning for anyone else as it does for you. And everybody, you know, manages it the same way. On the other hand, my mom wouldn't want me to stop doing everything and just kind of grieve for her for the next 20 years. You know, my mom's feeling about life was basically, why aren't you working? And so, took a little bit of time off to kind of process the emotional aspects of my mom passing away, and then took another trip back to New York to kind of deal with the actual physical manifestation of my folks both being gone and there being a house in the Lower Hudson Valley that I hadn't dealt with, and now I'm back here. And so we're going to try to... get rolling again, do the podcast again in this 120 degree heat. And there you go. We are 9 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Lodge of the podcast. Robin Goldstein, Parvez Vitali, Sherry Stevens. If you hear a little bit of noise in the background today, it's because we've got a portable air conditioner running right outside the room here to just try to keep the temperature at a very comfortable 98 degrees. And
it has been unbelievably hot.
Yeah. But, you know, it's the kind of thing that you really can't complain about because everywhere in the United States, it's the same kind of heat. And I understand they're having the same kind of issues overseas as well. Thank God we don't have global warming. Could you imagine how hot it would be if we were dealing with... I mean, oh my God, that would be a nightmare. Listen, before we get going, I just need to make sure that everybody's still here because it's been 6 weeks and some of the people who normally are part of the show, they're a little shaky.
Us.
They're a little shaky. So let's check and see. Roll call. Mr. Kippadot, are you in the house? All right. Michael Zwirling, are you in the house?
Stroke or unload?
Dick Cheney, are you in the house? And Harry Whittington, are you in the house? Feeling better already. So what did you do for the last 6 weeks?
Well, the last 6 weeks, I just lived my life and I worked.
Yeah, I've been doing that too.
Yeah. I actually thought, Robin, that we would not touch another podcast. I actually thought that was the end of our run.
That was really interesting. You were very kind and you had said to me in a couple of emails and in person, listen, I understand if you never want to do a podcast again.
Yeah.
I appreciate that you had that kind of, you know, love and support from me that you'd be willing to not try to guilt me into doing another show, but I guess I'm not sure where that came from.
Well, I didn't want to seem selfish. Like, you know, are we going to do another podcast? What's going on, right?
Yeah.
Because that's not the way to approach it. At the same time, I thought losing a mom is the biggest thing in your life. I mean, to lose a father is terrible. To lose a cousin, to lose a grandparent, to lose a uncle and aunt. But to lose your mother, that's heavy duty. So I totally understood if you were to say, you know what, I give this a rest, or maybe that, you know, we could, we ended on a high note. It was fun. And now we're going to continue the downtrend, I believe, right?
We ended on a show where you weren't there. You had food poisoning.
I believe that was
the
high
note. Was a 1 hour program with Jason and me just kind of yapping at each other for an hour.
Yeah.
So you're over the food poisoning.
The food poisoning was horrible.
Really?
It was absolutely terrible. The night before I had turkey. I had turkey.
Yes.
And then that morning about 6. No. It was
and
about
you know that
4:30.
Turkey and Iran don't get along with each other.
Apparently. That's,
they don't.
Yes.
And 4:30 in the morning, I wake up.
Wait,
or actually,
I make sure
true.
That this is working as well. Hold on.
Get ready. All right.
There you go.
I woke up every 2 hours from 12 to 4, and I ralphed big time.
Okay.
And then I said, screw it. I'm not going to work. And I said, well, I should probably go to work, and if I throw up at work, they'll let me go home. And I get to work, and I felt horrible, but I got better and better and better, and I still it's pretty disgusting. You ready, Sherry?
Yeah, I've had kids. I can take it.
I had the spits all day long.
Oh, no.
I don't know what that is.
That I can't take.
It was, Robin, it was bile. It was.
Okay, stop.
No, really, don't. Water.
And how have you been?
I've been okay. I haven't been sick.
And your turkey's all good?
Turkey's good. Oh, I don't eat turkey.
It's hot and steamy. We're all kind of just barely...
And that's what happened to me, too. Hot and steamy.
All right.
Just telling you.
Your mic's on.
Can you be good?
I realize it's off.
Can you be good?
Yes, but I'm trying to open up. Haven't seen you in 6 weeks.
Yeah, but there are certain
things...
Well,
let's go back to work. So you got through the day.
Well, we're not doing the actual...
But no. We don't want to know about
the
spits.
But that day, I didn't eat anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the... All day long.
Right.
I cleaned out my system big time.
Did you start fresh then? Did you start eating good foods?
I couldn't wait to eat. Like the next day I tried, it wasn't happening. It took me a few days to get into it. But guess what? I'm back in the swing of things. I eat like 500 calories a day, 500 million calories a day. I eat like a horse.
That's so good.
That's so good.
You got days to make up for.
I do.
So what I told the listeners is that we thought Melanie was actually trying to kill you.
And you know what? She ate the same thing I did.
And she didn't get sick.
Kind of, sort of, but not as bad as I did.
Yeah.
And so she's very offended.
That was just to throw the police off.
I believe
she basically put just like a tiny, tiny amount.
And conveniently, we were out of toilet paper.
Oh.
She hid all the toilet paper.
And you used
it's
to
like
work
2 at, in the morning. I'm you, like, hey!
You used to work at Safeway.
That's correct.
It's
funny you should talk about Safeway. I have a story about that.
All right. Anyhow. Good times.
Good times.
Good times.
So the last 6 weeks, you were asking me what I've been doing the last 6 weeks?
Yeah. I've already lost interest. No, but...
Not much. You know, I went to Six Flags.
Six Flags over...
Yeah, Vallejo.
Oh, okay.
Six Flags Marine World.
There's a lot of Six Flags, you know.
That's true.
it's a
chain.
We
have listeners all over the world.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, it's like,
I don't think there's any in Iran, though.
I wouldn't know. What's the name of the president?
Mahmoud Abujadan.
Not even fucking close, dude. I don't understand. I mean, we practiced.
What have you practiced? Mahmoud.
First of all, there's no...
Mahmoud Abujadan.
Abujadan. Okay.
Oh, you know what? Ask John.
We all understand that you're not actually saying it. It's Ahmadinejad. Ahmadinejad.
I think he would beg
repeat
to differ.
Repeat
a lot of those letters, you don't have to sound them out. You just have to throw them out there.
So I see. So in the original Iranian pronunciation...
It is Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. That's exactly how it goes. Call him up. You'll see.
It's like you're like a jazz musician. It's never the same way twice. Each time it's a little...
Sherry, how was your 6 weeks?
Good. Really good. Busy. Very busy with work. Hair on fire busy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
Robin?
I've just been hanging out. I mean, I was thinking about it. I don't think it's possible to really get caught up on what I did in the last 6 weeks.
And you don't even count the time, do you? You just
no,
you're
it just,
ready to
it just
do
kinda,
the podcast
just, yeah,
and you
yeah,
look
yeah,
back
the time
six
just,
weeks.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it sucked in so many ways. For the fact that my mom died and I was there as she was dying was horrible. And on the other hand, if I wasn't there, that would have been horrible. So there's nothing good as part of that process. Dealing with the nurses that try to throw us out of her room as she was dying. One of the nurses actually threatened to call security on my sister. that actually I was okay with. I mean, that actually, I thought that was an okay thing myself. But, I mean, that was kind of like, so there are moments of incredible cruelty, you know, yeah. that people can visit on each other just because of not really caring about what somebody else is going through. On the other hand, you know, there's an opportunity to remember my mom's life and to go through, you know, 80-something years of, well, hold on a second here. You talk among yourselves.
80-something years.
Robin Goldstein.
Ooh, Robin's got a call. And it's,
It's Mahmood.
It's probably Mahmood. It's possibly Mahmood pissed off.
Well, it could be a pizza place. What kind of pizza you want to order?
It's Mahmood from the pizza parlor. That Mahmood.
That Mahmood.
Pizza with tomato. Let me see. Do we have pizza with tomato?
Absolutely.
You see, the guy says yes.
Do I have a pencil? Well...
Why would you need a pencil?
What? He wants to know why we're repeating everything that he says.
Because you haven't put it on speakerphone yet. He
wants to know if we're hard of hearing. No, I actually have a brand new hearing aid.
Who is that?
Well, the problem is that I'm having a great conversation, but it's on my cell phone, so no one else is hearing it. I'm highly entertained. The audience, not so much. What number you call for pizza? Let's see. Would be area code 408 18. Bye bye.
Why do these people have to call on our anniversary?
Well, this is an important show.
We already got our first welcome back call, huh?
I got a welcome back call. You, not once again, not so much. Let's see. So there should be a... well, now I'm very confused here. Can you tell?
No.
All right.
But...
Oh.
Hey, the phone's ringing.
Yes, the phone is ringing. Oh. Yes, pizza.
Hi, this is a pizza place.
Yes, this is a pizza place, too.
Okay, I can't hear you too well. But hold on. Let me put on my atomic hearing aid. Hold on.
You have an atomic hearing aid?
Cost me $20,000. You know how the satellite can pick up a license plate from 15 miles in the sky?
That's amazing.
My hearing aid can pick up a conversation with people like 6 miles away. Wait, let me turn it on, okay?
All right, yeah.
And then when I turn it on, I can tell you more. Like, you can ask me, like, how much it costs.
Yeah, of course.
All that stuff. Okay, what kind of, all the things.
Absolutely.
On,
all right.
Okay, my atomic hearing aid is on. Go, ask me anything.
That's amazing. What kind is it?
230.
Well... It's all free form, right? So here we go. All right. My two co-hosts are staring at me with more incredibly blank looks than I normally get from my co-hosts.
230.
Oh, this is a huge, huge special favor to me. On the phone with us right now is, I don't even have the introduction in front of me. I'm going to have to wing it here.
I can help you. You want adjectives or nouns?
Yeah. Be like Mad Libs. Kind of a fruit.
Kind of a fruit. Tootie.
When I was in Boston back in the 70s, you know, came from New York, and very formative time, and, you know, you go to college, you start to listen to local radio. And there was a station in Boston, WBCN, which was, I think, preeminent in terms of free-form FM radio. Not programmed, but free-form, open. The jocks could do what they want, play what they want, talk about what they want. And it opened my eyes, because I grew up in New York listening to WABC and WPLJ, all this really heavily programmed, you know, music in short rotation. So all you were listening to were the same 10 or 12 songs over and over again. And BCN was a different kind of station. You really felt like you were part of what was going on there. The jocks had personality. They weren't really jocks. They were personalities. And the
Yankees sucked then, too.
Charles, you're not going to get anybody in this room to argue with you. And
So did you tell everybody how they threw you out of Boston? Because you talk like this and you wanted coffee and no one understood what you were saying, so they said, just get, you know, get the hell out of here and go back where you came from?
They did say that. On the phone with us is Charles Lacuadera, a legendary broadcaster in Boston. Did morning radio in Boston for 30 years, I believe it was. and he does his own Foley. I mean, how, the best kind of guest in the world. Well, and a little asthmatic.
That's not asthma, that's plot.
It's Darth Vader.
Charles, so thank you so very much. How are you today?
I'm great, Robin. How are you? What time is it where you are?
It's
2:30. Sony?
We're it's 5:32 here in California this afternoon, and we're just back into the first episode that we've done in a while. I mentioned my mom had passed away. When I was back east, I had a chance to go through all of this stuff, and I found the photographs of Dwayne Ingalls Glasscock.
Hello, Rangoon!
Running for the mayor of Boston in 1979, and I sent him off to Charles, and it just brought back such incredible memories, but... You were a fixture in radio at a time that there were no Howard Sterns, there were no Opies and Anthonys and Grease Man and what have you. You were a personality at a really interesting juncture of radio, and yet when I look at your resume online, it doesn't look like you were sort of a radio guy. Like, you didn't start off saying, I always wanted to be in radio. How did you wind up in this particular field?
Well, I always thought that, you know, growing up, I always thought disc jockeys were pretty lame.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they talk fast, and they didn't really have much to say, and sort of like they are now in commercial radio. You know, they kind of, they're just big airheads, bubbleheads, and companies, corporations telling them what to say, and that's what it was like. And then until FM, underground FM came in. Don't forget, before the late 60s, before, I'm guessing, 65 and 66, there was no, the FM radio dial was only classical music and talk. There was no rock and roll. And
right.
Some guys from Tom Donahue and some of the guys that started what they called at the time underground radio, you know, it was almost like a pirate station. They put rock and roll on FM. And, God, that was unheard of, because I remember I went to buy a Volvo one time, and one of the selling points of the Volvo was they said that we have, I can't do a Swedish accent, obviously, but they said, we have FM, so you don't have to listen to that awful, you know, ghetto rock and roll music. You can listen to classical music. So that was like, you know, that was in the mid-60s. And then when they brought in, you know, to first hear Jimi Hendrix and Bob Dylan, and to hear those guys in stereo was pretty awesome, because you were unable to do that, you know, except on your, you know, with vinyl records. But there certainly was no radio station doing it. So I felt lucky. I just happened to be at the right place at the right time. I was wanting to be an actor, and I was in your part of the woods. I was down in I went to the Pasadena Playhouse,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to be a movie star.
Right,
movie star. But I had to learn how to talk first, so I had to take all these these lessons in
elocution
and stuff. Oh, I got another call. Can you hold on a second?
Of course. Knock yourself out.
Hold on.
We're being put on hold by Charles Lacuadera right here. We're 25 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic. Now's a good time to think of some questions. like, why are we doing this?
Why would he call in the middle of... Here we go.
I'm sorry. Okay, guys.
No, over.
Where was I?
You
were in Pasadena at the Playhouse, and I know, for example, just from the time that I spent listening to you at WBCN, that you tried out for the role that Tony Curtis ultimately got. You auditioned for the role of the Boston Strangler years and years ago.
Yeah, he blew the director.
Away.
Well, I interviewed him years later, and I said... Tony, I said, you know, he wanted to push his book he had out about whatever it was out, and they asked me if I wanted to do a satellite interview with him, and I said, sure. And they said, you really do? And I said, yeah. They said, well, he beat you out for the Boston Strangler. I said, yeah, but I got a bone to pick with the guy. He's kind of was mean to me one time, and I would like to put him on the air and have him answer for it. So we put him on the air, and he started talking about his book. I said, Tony, hold off. I said, do you remember in 1970? Whatever year it was, when, or maybe it was in the 80s, whenever Spago's opened up down down in L.A., the first Spago's. I said, when Spago's opened up, you were in there eating with this girl that I thought was your daughter, but actually probably turned out to be one of your wives. And I said, I went up to you, and I was really nice, and I said, Tony, you and I were up for the same part. You and I and Alan Bates were all up for the Boston Strangler, and you got the part. And you didn't even look up from your soup. You just looked up and said, yeah, right. And you just kind of, and I said, you ignored me. And there I was standing there like a fool. And I said, and you were really rude. And I said, so I just want to remind you that, and tell everybody in my Boston audience that I know how you got the role, because I was working in the print shop at 20th Century Fox when I was auditioning for it, because I had seen the script before you did, so I just did this. I did a lot of rehearsing, and I got an interview, an audition. I said, and they were going to cast me in it. But every day, as I was waiting to find out if I got the part, I'd see you going with the director, Richard Brooks. You'd be going to lunch at the 20th Century Fox cafeteria. I said, every day I'd see it. And I knew, I said, why don't you just admit it? You blew the director. That's how you got the part, because I did a better audition than you. He started laughing. He started laughing so much that we became sort of friends after that. Wow. I thought, this guy's really good. He's got a great sense of humor. He just had a bad day that day. So, I don't know. So, anyway, yeah. But So after that, I kind of quit trying to be an actor. And in a way, actually, you know, if I did get the part of the Boston Strangler, I might not be retired in Hollywood today, because I kind of lucked out with the radio thing. I might have just got that one part and then been, like a one-hit wonder actor, you know? So I'm kind of, if I had my whole life to live over, I would have not got the part. I would have said, nope, I don't want the part. Let me keep going the way I'm going. And then what happened was, the radio station became very successful, BCN, the station you were talking about.
Right.
At the beginning, yeah. And so I started doing pretty well, and I started making money in radio, which is unheard of.
Sure.
And it's, now it's back being unheard of again. I get out just in time, Robert, I'll tell you that, man.
But you, I remember, because I was one of these kids that grew up and always wanted to be in radio, mostly talk radio, sort of not a DJ, but I loved listening to the New York talk radio host, the Brad Crandall, the Long John Nebel, the people that my dad listened to, basically. And so it never occurred to me that you could combine sort of personality and music at the same time. And there really wasn't anyone that I could point to before I heard you. It was brand new. And I said, holy shit, this is another form of entertainment. This is and of course, now then it got copied. How did you come up with sort of fusing elements together? I think the thing I remember initially was hearing your show, hearing you talk about important political issues, plus you were being funny, kind of like The Daily Show, you know, sarcastic, satirical, but you had to be smart to get it. You were playing jazz, plus you were playing classical, plus you were playing rock and roll that I'd never heard before.
Hey, Robin.
Yes, sir.
Did you just say shit?
Yeah, sure.
You can say shit on a podcast?
Absolutely.
Okay. Does any of your audience, how many producers you got? Sounds like you got a whole crew of just people that just laugh on cue.
No.
I'm just kidding.
I have a couple of carts. That's all you need.
But does anyone there know how I tie up call waiting? Like, what is a star what?
Dude,
69.
People to call in. Can people call in your show now?
We don't have people call into the show. We just we sort of tape it all at once and then run out.
All right,
so
I'm gonna try *77. Hold on.
Okay, fine. And we got Charles Lockwood there, and we're 29 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic.
What's he trying to do?
We cannot process your custom calling request at this time.
Okay, I hate when
I'm trying to stop call waiting so people don't keep calling in.
We can't hear the click on the call waiting.
Oh, you can't?
No.
Oh, you couldn't hear that last time when I said, wait a minute?
No, all we can hear is you wanting to leave us immediately.
And we hear that all the time.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Anyway, so along comes this kind of radio. I'm just picking up where you left off. Along comes
Thank
this
you.
Kind of radio where they're looking for real people who screw up all the time. Like real people do. And so there was the thing. I'm sitting around as an actor before I even got the radio job. I'm sitting around as an actor, getting stoned with a buddy of mine. We're thinking how great it would be if you could have a radio station that would play the best classical music, the best jazz, the best rock and roll, instead of just all the same thing over and over. And we sort of were dreaming and fantasizing about that. Well, Tom Donahue comes in, he makes an underground radio thing, but it's all rock and roll and folk music. And so I just figured I could do one better, because I didn't know that much about rock and that much about
Tom Donahue's music,
right,
because I was an actor and I wasn't paying attention to the songs and the music. So, but I did know classical music a little bit and jazz. I grew up on jazz.
Right.
So what I would do is when I had my chance to do radio, I just, you know, I didn't know that much about rock, so I just mixed it. So I'd play, you know, something by Johann Sebastian Bach, and then
right,
I would follow that with the Rolling Stones. And you know, I had an ear. I could tell when songs were in the same key. I don't know
all
anything
right
about music, but I know when two songs go together. If I'm listening to one song, I can hear in my head another song that's totally different that goes with it, so that when you segue them, they sort of, people don't know that you just went into another song until they really know it, you know. So I think that's the only gift that I was blessed with, was being able to tell when songs in the same key. And then I would just mix up all kinds of music. I didn't know that much of any, you know, I didn't know. God, I just, if I first heard about Janis Joplin at Monterey Pop Festival, and she was real famous a long time before that, you know. And I didn't know a lot about, you know, like I had a music director that was a young kid, and he was a real, you know, hardcore rocker. And he said he'd taken a record, and he'd taken this record, and he'd say, "This is the heaviest freaking song ever made." It was Jeff Beck doing Beck's Bolero, and I thought, okay. So I go on the air and say, "This is the heaviest song ever made," and I play it. And to this day, I still play that song, and that's how I introduce it. But
just so people know, in case they just tuned in, we're talking to Charles Lacordaire. If you spent any time in Boston from basically 1969 until like even today, and you listen to the radio, you know exactly who he is. And you're still on the air now. That's the thing. You're retired, and yet you're doing 5 days a week at WBOS. You got an air shift in Hawaii, which I think you were on the air this morning. You got a podcast. It's all streaming. You're the hardest working man in retirement, Charles.
I know. I'm going to quit again. I'm going to quit. I think I'm going to quit the BOS one as soon as my contract's over. Because, you know, you can only do so many. I mean, it sounded good when they first proposed it to me. They said, "Hey, look, you know, all you'll do is we'll give you, you know, 9 songs from a certain year. It'll be commercial free, and you'll play the songs, and then you can add 2 of your own. You can add the 6th song you can have, and then you can do a 10th song that won't even have to be that year, a flashback." And so I said, "Okay, that sounds great." And the money I was getting sounded great, but then after I signed the contract, I realized how much work it's taking to do a stupid hour show. There's so much research,
yeah,
and you know, you can't just go on and say, "That was Jimi Hendrix," and that was, you know, you can't just do that. You know that. So you got to sort of do say something about it. I got to give little anecdotes and
right,
talk about how the beaches in Hawaii are free and nobody can own a beach, and in Massachusetts when I rule the world, I'm going to free up the beaches in Massachusetts so that everyone can go on the beach. Nobody can own a beach. You know, stuff, I have to think of stuff to say like that. I have to think of, like, you know those little gnats that fly in your eyes sometimes in the summertime?
Okay.
Well, they fly in my eyes all the time, 24/7, because I think it's my glasses or something, but they like my eyes. And so I got to figure out, sometime I just be sitting there reading or working on the computer, and an eye fly will find me and it'll go in my eye. So then I go on the air and ask people how I stop the eye flies, and then they tell me, "Well, spray all your screens with a very holistic product called Safer." And so I spray my screens with Safer, but then my wife gets pissed at me because I sprayed the windows and now it won't come off the windows. But the eye flies don't come in anymore. But see, and stories like that, you know, I have to tell things like that. Are you guys awake? Did I just...
No. No, but that's the thing. No,
We got another call. We got to go.
Hey, let's do lunch.
Well, so, but you mentioned something. I didn't know that I'd be able to get you on the phone today. You were very, very kind to call in and do this now. I didn't know if I'd be able to do it with you. Because
you're doing $500 check didn't hurt.
You're doing a favor. Well, all I do is really send you some old photographs. What was so wonderful was Charles looked at the photographs. He goes, "I know there's some guy in the backseat of a cab. I don't know who the hell that is." And it's like, "Dude, I think it's you. A little younger, a little less gray, but I'm pretty sure that's you in the back of the cab there."
Yeah, whoever took those pictures was high on some kind of a bong. Yeah.
Hey. I don't admit to denying anything. But one of the things I realize when I sort of go back and look and sort of think about that time is you were political in a way that was, you sort of wore your politics on your sleeve. I think you were unapologetically liberal. Is that a fair way of putting it?
Oh, yeah. I sort of, almost communist, but but well, I believe in capitalism,
But certainly so.
A commie who believes in capitalism.
I think the best kind. You sort of have the social aspects of a collective, and then you've got the motivation of capitalism. Why didn't you ever really go into politics? How come you didn't use your bully pulpit and decide to really run for it?
Because I wouldn't be able to get elected. Look at anybody who says, there's nobody right now anywhere in the world, in America, that's going up and saying this and this and this. You have to compromise everything. You know, I'm going to sneeze in a second. Is that okay?
Absolutely. Charles Lacordaire sneezes on Schnauzer logic.
Write it down.
Mark it.
You know what it is? I'm opening this drawer looking for...
eye flies?
No, for the manual that tells me how to stop call waiting. Oh, you said you didn't care about that.
No, we don't. Not on our end. It may be annoying to you, but we're...
How are you so popular, Charles?
What?
How are you so... I mean, you're getting calls every 5 seconds?
Yeah, I get calls all the time.
Yeah. This is a busy man. It's not like you.
I don't get a call for 5 days.
Well, yeah. I mean,
I just called you twice. Man. Oh, that was the pizza guy. That was
exactly.
All right. Now, do you have a mute button? Because I want to blow my nose.
Yeah, go ahead.
You didn't do it.
Just tell us when to mute. That's all. Just say the word and we'll mute it.
So
do you miss Boston?
Is this going to be heard in Boston?
No, I mean it's heard all over the world. You know what it is. The reality is, it's a podcast, so it's a show that's professionally produced that's heard by a few thousand people around the world who kind of did. For some reason, absolute God's honest truth, we're really big in Scandinavian countries. I have no idea why.
Yeah, I get calls from Brussels. That's bizarre, isn't it?
Big listenership in Norway, Sweden, Denmark. I don't understand why, but that's where people are digging the show. So, you know, I don't think that they have it. But, I mean, you're living...
Oh, wait a minute. Is that true? Like, you really do? Are they going to hear this show?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, can you hold on for 1 second?
Absolutely.
Hey, everybody. My name is Charles Lacordaire, and I'm on Manao Radio. Manao Radio. All1word.com. ManaoRadio.com. And I play more rock and roll than Robin does. He talks too much.
Charles?
What?
How do you pronounce the leader of Iran? How do you pronounce his name?
Let's see. How spell it?
Dude, what are you?
Oh, it's just checking.
Okay.
Okay, that's okay.
Are you going to be able to stay the whole 2 hours, by the way?
I'll do my best.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. I mean, where you're living now, you're living in Hawaii. It's one of the most beautiful places on the planet. But are you a Bostonian native? I always assumed you were. And then when I read that you went to the Playhouse.
Yeah, Playhouse.
Yeah, that I assumed maybe you were a Southern California guy originally.
No. I grew up in Milford, Mass, and I had a Boston accent. And
yeah,
then
absolutely.
I went to California to become a movie star. And...
So you don't miss the Cape? You've been there, what, about 6 years now, something like that?
Do I miss the Cape?
Yeah.
Where's the Cape? I only went to the Cape once in a while in the summer.
Is that right? I mean, I've been living in California for about 13 years, and there's sort of the geographic elements of the Outer Cape and the coast of Maine, the things that I really can't find out here in California. California's beautiful, but I don't know, I guess I still miss that. Maybe it's a romantic notion. Maybe if I went back, it wouldn't be the same. Maybe it'll just be all, it looked like every place else now.
We were in Santa Barbara last week. We're looking at houses there. I think if I can swing it financially, I'm going to have a house in Santa Barbara.
Oh, that's very nice.
And a house here. Robin, you know what's confusing is by email is you're a male, right?
Well, I'm transgender.
Transgender?
I'm a transgender broadcaster. I'm actually a straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning.
All right.
I'm the only one I know like that, but there may be more.
It's okay. Robin Diane Goldstein.
Right.
Goldstein.
Either one.
No, it's supposed to be Goldstein. Stein. Goldstein is Stein.
One is the German pronunciation and one is the
Jewish
pronunciation, I think, yeah.
Okay.
So, yes. So, I am transgender and decided that when I do radio, I can basically use any voice I want to use, and this feels like a much better voice for me to use on the radio.
And I like the unisex name, Robin Diane. Like, you just don't... I think I'll have a contest sometime of, like, just name all the names that you can't tell the gender. And it's,
well, Diane, yeah. You kind of can. Somebody once said to me, they said, Diane, that's a very strange name for a guy. And I said, it was a family name. And they just kind of bought it. It was like, well, I don't know what the hell that means.
Well, what about the name Michael? I met there was a woman named Michael that was the news manager over at BZ back in Boston. Yeah.
Well, that's a Russian name, I think, right? Russian women are frequently named Michael or Mikhail, I guess. I'm not sure. But you did, I noticed that you definitely avoided answering the question about Boston, and we're not going to go back to that. So.
No, I don't want to live in Boston anymore, but that's why I left. It's too cold. It's too hot in the summer, and it's too cold in the winter. Like right now, it's perfect in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And I mean, the weather's just perfect. You've been here, yeah?
Yes, and it's magnificent. I mean, as I say, it's not hard to understand why you decided to move there. I mean, it's almost as far away from the East Coast as you can possibly get before you're forced to speak Japanese. I mean, you can't go much further than that. So
no, Hawaii is the most isolated civilized place in the world,
and that works for you after being in the middle of it, until they
drop a dirty bomb somewhere in the mainland, then we can't get supplies anymore. But up until then, it's going to be fine.
Are you worried about that? I remember
I think that probably could happen, yeah.
I remember you used to end all of the shows, Creek Don't Rise, Good Lord Willing, and There Ain't No Meltdown, which was, of course, back in the 70s, was a real possibility given everything that was happening at that point. And yeah. I think it was only partially tongue-in-cheek. But are you worried about the world? Are you worried about the future?
I'm not so much worried as I'm just bewildered by the amount of stupidity that's out there. I mean, the millions of people... The amount of red states in the last election was just unfathomable to me. I just didn't believe there were so many dopes out there. So I can, you know, and they elected him again. Well, they sort of did. Put it this way, he might have stolen the election, but a lot of people voted for him nevertheless. So you know what? They all deserve it, and they all deserve him. And I mean, I think I don't want to get too political on your show because I don't know what the format is, but. Right now, we're really in probably the most dangerous time since the 30s, the late 30s. This is very, very dangerous because we're dealing with a bunch of maniacs, and we're dealing with them in the wrong way. We're dealing with a bunch of total... I mean, in the Second World War, you look at any History Channel documentary about the Second World War, and one of the biggest fears for the Allies, France and England and America, was the fact that the Japanese were not afraid to die. They had actual, kamikaze people that would go in. And when you get a human being that isn't afraid to die, that's a very, very dangerous enemy. And when you get a human being that's not afraid to die, that hates the United States, that doesn't have a country that we can bomb or attack because they're just everywhere and they're all over, spread out, you got a problem. And the problem can't be resolved the way the way Israel's doing it. I mean, you tell me what Israel's going to do in a best case scenario. What are they going to do? Are they going to get all of if they kill all of the leaders of Hezbollah, then they have children or they have cousins. What are they going to do? I mean, unless you want to just wipe out all of the Middle East with a couple of nuclear bombs, how else are you going to deal with this unless you start. You just go back to the basics and say, okay, what's going on here? Okay, we have to work on a peace process. There was a peace process resolved back with Rabin and Egypt, and they killed both of them. They killed Rabin, the Jewish right wing killed Rabin, and the Egyptian right wing killed what's his name. So it's just horrible. But at least there can be a peace process, but not the way Bush is doing it.
But it seemed to me that there was sort of hope back then. There were alternative ways of thinking about the world that gave me a little bit of hope. Maybe I was younger and so I was a little more naive, and I went to rallies and I thought that more was possible. But it feels to me now like anyone who espouses or proposes an alternative way of thinking about any political process is labeled a traitor, a non.
That's just because the right wing has taken over all of the corporations. The right wing has taken over all of the newspapers, all of the media, and it's ultra right. And until that's fixed, right now, Bush had the perfect chance to be considered the greatest president of all time, George W. When after 9/11, instead of going in there and staying in Afghanistan and going after Bin Laden, everybody, even most of the Arab world was on our side because they hated what happened at 9/11. They hated what the terrorists did. So the entire world could have banded together against the terrorists. We could have developed a whole spy network. We could have infiltrated. We had so many friends from every country. And now he's like just, we don't have any friends. I'm going to be going to Europe in September. I don't know what kind of flag I'm going to put on the back of my suitcase, but it ain't going to be an American flag. I'll get killed.
And that's a shame because you're proud to be an American.
Proud to be American.
Absolutely.
I love my country so much.
Right.
I think Bush is a traitor. He ought to be put on trial, him and Kissinger, for war crimes.
Do you see the pendulum swinging the other way?
No, not until...
Really?
At least the next election. But see, I'm not so sure. Well, I'm pretty cynical, Robin, because I really believe that they now have so much power that nothing can stop them. I believe that they've taken over all of the AM radio stations. They've taken over. And now, I don't know if you're saying anything about the Internet, stuff that's going on now, but they're about to take over the Internet.
The net neutrality stuff.
Yeah, and I sound like a paranoid. I sound like some paranoid. I forget what that movie was. There was a movie where Mel Gibson played a paranoid.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Anyway, I started to sound like him. I'm not paranoid. You're paranoid when you think people are knocking at your door until they come through the door, and then you're no longer paranoid. You're being realistic, and that's the way I feel right now. They're coming through the door.
Well, I'm just feeling so much better that you decided to call us. Thanks. Thanks
a
lot.
Wait a minute, it gets worse.
This is
did you know that they're putting that there's an attorney general of Louisiana? Did you hear about this? He's putting he arrested the doctor. Do you remember the doctor and the nurses that were stuck during Hurricane Katrina?
Yes.
And they couldn't get out, and everybody
right.
was the people that were dying were getting
euthanized.
Sicker and sicker.
Yes.
And these people, you know, had no choice, at least according to what I read.
That's right.
Except to put them out of their misery, and
right.
now they're being indicted by some Italian. I say that because I'm Italian. I'm ashamed of sometimes. I'm ashamed of the Italians on the Supreme Court. I'm ashamed of this Italian attorney general that's going in this direction. Because in that trial, those people are going to be, I don't know whether they're going to come out as being heroes or it's going to make a great movie, though. And that's the good thing. It's going to make a great movie, and that's what we all have to think about, because if we let it get to us and we get too depressed about world events, we always have to go there. What kind of a movie will it make? And so I'm okay with all this.
Oh, wow. All right. That's a philosophy I think I can live with. We're talking with Charles Laquadera. Those of you who have never heard The Big Mattress or have never heard Charles, you're getting a little flavor of what it was like to listen for, was it 4 hours every morning, Monday? You used to do Saturdays, too. You were on the radio every time I turned on the damn radio.
No, Dwayne Glassdoc was on Saturdays. I didn't have anything to do with that.
My apologies. And Carlos the computer and Eddie Gordetsky. I mean, when you think about it now, you really had a brilliant cast of people who were working with you, and Michael Fremer. I mean, folks who have gone on to do some amazingly creative things along the way.
Billy West?
Billy got there after I was there. I was there during the Eddie Gordetsky years, but...
Well, Billy was part of that.
Was he?
Yep.
Okay. Well, he was must have been a younger kid back then. A very fertile space for all kinds of creative stuff. And yet you look at the radio landscape today, and I understand that, corporate radio really changes things, but people don't seem to be going for creative expression. I mean, you listen to it, and even not considering that you've got corporate ownership, it's boring. Why do you think that is?
Because when you do the numbers, and if you're looking to get the largest amount of people, which is what every radio station, you got to just look at the whole basis for capitalism. I mean, people buy shares in stocks, and companies make all their money in the stock market. And your job as a CEO of a company or a corporation is to make as much money as possible for your investors, for your stockholders. So therefore, if you are the head of a major corporation like a company that owns a lot of radio stations, your job, or you're not doing it, you'll be fired. Your job is to get everybody to make money. How do you make money? You cut the amount of people down, and you make more, less people work more. And you also, I mean, this is just standard. I mean, this is what you got to do. You got to do this if you're a good businessman.
Yeah, but
you're
a good
CEO.
And
then when you make, in order to make money in radio, Robin, you have to appeal to the lowest common denominator, because those are the ones that are the majority that get what they call ratings diaries, the Arbitron book.
Right, right.
And so you have to appeal to them. And how do you appeal to them? If you, when you get off the air, I'm not sure if this is true with you, but for most people that only listen to the radio 10 minutes a day,
right,
on their way to work, maybe a half hour or whatever, they want to hear hits. They don't want to hear anything obscure unless they trust the DJ and the DJ explains to them, you know, listen to this. This is a song that I'm going to play it by Eric Clapton after, but first I'm going to play it by Robert Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you can put a song out so people understand what's going on. Otherwise, they don't understand it because they are used to hearing the same songs over and over. So it takes a little bit of a. People have to really be listening. If you're having a conversation with the person next to you in the car, you don't want to hear John Lee Hooker. Because when John Lee Hooker's playing, you want to hear him.
Right.
So if you're having a conversation, you just want to hear elevator music or elevator rock and roll, something like, you know, just Blackwater by the Doobie Brothers. You just want to hear that song or something you can just go whistle to, or it's in the background, it's soothing, and it doesn't get in your way.
Yeah, but you stand on the side of the road in California, and you watch all the cars that are not in the high-speed, the high-occupancy lane, because it's only one person in the car. So they really are tuned into the radio, and that is their companionship as opposed to the other person in the car. And what I think of when you talk about this lowest common denominator is you look at things like Whole Foods. I mean, a completely different industry where people said, you know what, I'm not going to go for the lowest common denominator. I'm actually going to go for some quality. People want organic food. They're willing to pay a little bit more. There's a market there. And suddenly there's Whole Food markets all over the place. Now, maybe they're beginning to, sort of destroy the organic space as well. A political discussion. But nevertheless, they figured out, you know, there actually is a pretty good percentage of the population that will spend a little bit more to get a little bit more. How come nobody in radio has figured that out?
I don't think first of all, if you take a total freeform radio, like my station here in Hawaii, Mana'o Radio is totally freeform.
Mm-hmm.
And I can only listen sometimes for about 20 minutes because the announcers start talking like we are. Like you and I just lost about 400 listeners just in the past 40 minutes, or 20 minutes of our conversation. Because unless somebody's just riveted to the radio and wants to know more about it. But most people that listen to the radio, they want to hear music.
Well, I think podcasting is a little bit different. People know what they're getting into before they do it, so they kind of subscribe to it, and as a result,
okay,
they listen a little bit. I mean, most of our listeners have said to me, nobody listens to the entire two-hour show all at once. It makes them woozy. But what they'll do is they'll listen to it, 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there, when they're going from one appointment to the next.
Uh-huh.
They'll put it in their car, and they'll listen to it there. So they get little bits and pieces of things. The other thing that's nice about a podcast, you don't like what you're listening to, you fast-forward through it, which is something you can't do on real radio. You're kind of stuck with all of the real time. But
are you telling me that they're fast forwarding right now as we're speaking?
God, I hope so. Anyway, we'll be back next week.
So, do you play music too? I'm just assuming that
we
right?
do. Yeah, we do play music, and normally we have we've got the program scheduled with a regular clock, which of course you couldn't tell today because we've completely blown it off because you're a special guest. But we program it with a regular clock. We have regular stop breaks, and what I do is I play Creative Commons music, stuff that's not RIAA music, so things that come from GarageBand and other places where people are not getting exposure. You don't have to look very hard to find incredibly talented musicians who have not been signed up for big label deals, and they're happy to get their music played. And so we play their stuff during the breaks. We put links to their music on a blog website, and people can go and get another little bit of music out
so
there.
So they wouldn't hear a Beatles song on your show or a Stone song?
Nope. I don't play that stuff. Because you can hear it other places, and this is a way of... And, I don't know that I find everything that I like, but I find things that sound interesting to me. Going back to what you did back then...
Yeah,
and it's really interesting because I have in my life, when I think about it, sort of 10 or 15 or 20 people that along the way I was exposed to, may not have met, but it was were exposed to, who changed the way that I thought about things. Richard Feynman is one of those people. Reading the writings of Richard Feynman, the physicist, the Nobel Prize winning physicist, sort of changed the way that I thought about the world and what was possible. There are other people along the way. Listening to what you were doing in Boston when I was a student changed the way that I thought about radio as a form of entertainment, communications, and that kind of medium. It changed it forever. So when I say thank you, I don't. It's not just blowing smoke up your butt, Charles. I mean that. It just changed it. And if what I do for my listeners along the way on KSCO in Santa Cruz or on this podcast, if I've entertained people just a little bit in a way that they hadn't heard anywhere else, some of that is due to what I heard you do. And so thanks very much.
Oh, thank you. My pleasure. Or mahalo, as I like to say here.
Well, listen.
Send me... Do me a favor. Email me your let's see, what do you call it? The HTTP thing, so
yeah.
I can put it on my blog.
Oh, that's very sweet of you. We'll absolutely give you a link to the website with the podcast show notes and all of that stuff. And that would be great.
Thanks for having me on, Robin. I really am flattered that you called me. And thanks for those pictures. And when's my pizza coming?
At 2:30.
I'll talk to you later.
Thanks,
bye-bye,
Charles.
Now.
Take
Aloha.
Care. Aloha. Wow.
He's very cool.
That was like...
He's very cool. He's very hip, and he's... And
it's amazing.
Yeah. He's very cool.
I mean, I don't know. I'm sure there were people out here in California that were the same, you know? I don't know. I know down in Los Angeles, you know, there were people who were like this and, you know, sort of little... Probably now, the station you listen to.
K-Fog.
K-Fog's probably as close as you're going to get to that kind of free-form radio and the folks in the morning, and they do, like, little games, and they play eclectic kind of music. It's not just a playlist, right? You can hear stuff that you don't hear anywhere else. But that's sort of a dying breed.
Right, and it sounds like this was a different time. You know, it was far more political. It was far more radical to bring these things up. Now we can be cynical, and it's hip.
But, I mean, you can just tell how entertaining this guy was. And so here I am. I'm 17 years old, and I go to Boston, and I'm used to listening just top 40, right? You know, just top 40 music. And I'm listening to this stuff, and I said to Parviz, it was a mashup. He was playing, it might have been a Jay Giles Band song, and he mashed that into some classical stuff. He came back with a comedy routine, and then he mashed that into some jazz. I think it was either Monk or, you know, may have been, I think it was Monk. And then he sort of started talking and a little bit of politics and, you know, that kind of, I mean, he's passionate in a way that's just incredibly compelling. And I just thought, holy shit, that's what I want to do. I have no idea how to fuck to do that. But that's the kind of thing that I want to do. So, wow, I'm blown away. All right.
I love that he's aware of himself. He's aware, you know, he's joking about the audience, he's joking about himself, so that's cool.
He's a smart guy.
Yeah, he's not arrogant. He doesn't seem cocky or anything.
You don't get to be in radio for, what, 30 something years, I mean, at the top, right, for 30 years without being an incredibly smart fucker. I mean, you may not always play that card, but you gotta know what's going on all over the place. And he wasn't afraid to put his politics on the table.
At a
point where maybe that wouldn't be a great thing to do.
Right.
So, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break because I need to pee. Reality. We'll take a break at this point. The tunes that I'll play today are songs that my mom liked. So I'm going to break the rule, even though I just told Charles that I don't play, you know, normal records. I'm going to break that rule today and play a couple of things that my mom liked. And I think when we come back, what we'll do is we'll play a round of Win John DeCoven's Money. Yay! All right. Can you stick around?
Yep. I'll do my best.
All right. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic, the podcast. Robin Goldstein, Parviz Vitali, Sherry Stevens. God, it's been so long, I almost forgot who the fuck we are. And you, this is show number 20. We are back, my friends. Thank you all so very, very much for the kind letters, the emails, the notes, all of the notes of condolence. Everybody who sent comments, I really, really appreciate it. It means a lot. We don't have the community that you had when you grew up in the times that were different, smaller, you know, smaller physical space where everybody knew everybody in the area. The internet's kind of created this virtual community, and I think that what I have felt is the true love and support of people. Even if I haven't met you, it means a tremendous amount to know that you're out there and you care. And those thoughts, those prayers, those expressions of love meant a lot to me, helped get through that difficult time. Will there be more difficult times? Yeah, sure. A lot more difficult times, but I know that you guys are out there, and that means a lot to me. All right. Enough of the maudlin sentimental stuff. We're going to take a break. We're back on the other side. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic, so stick around.
I want to know why you like to dress up like a girl sometimes.
This is Schnauzer Logic.
My love for no one else.
This new radio series offers an unusual opportunity to combine broad popular appeal with truly distinguished radio treatment.
Oh, and this one time, at band camp, I stuck a flute in my pussy.
Crystal!
Hello?
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We are 4 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic, the podcast. Robin Goldstein, your host, your buddy, and your pal. Straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning. www.schnauzerlogic.com. That's the website. robin@schnauzerlogic.com. That's the email address. We're over on MySpace. Nobody cares. And Charles didn't even want me to get through the straight white Buddhist thing. He was like, I've heard enough. That's enough of that. I got enough of that. Oh, man. That was Mario Lanza. Do you remember that from your mom listened to that?
Not really. She was more of a Tom Jones, Engelbert Humperdinck.
I have that. You recognize Mario Lanza?
No, I thought it was actually Andrew Bocelli.
Oh, wow. Well, long before there was Andreas Bocelli, there was Mario Lanza. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how many of those things we'll get through today, but growing up, there were things that I remember listening to. Nat King Cole, Perry Como, Mario Lanza, Barbara Streisand, Della Reese, Engelbert Humperdinck, those kind of things. So, Parviz Vitali, Sherry Stevens, and... So since this is our 20th program, I thought that what we should do is do what we normally do when we have a very big celebration. We should do an episode of Win John DeCoven's Money. And so right now on the line, if I push this button, I think we're going to be able to hear John DeCoven. John, son of Vista, welcome to Schnauzer Logic.
Son of Vista, Robin.
All right. Well, you've got plenty of volume there. And on the phone with you, why don't you introduce the guy you're going to be playing with today?
That's a good buddy of mine. His name's Andrew, and he's playing for the city of San Diego.
Okay, the homeless shelter. A little charity there. Donate all the money. That's very good. Andrew, welcome to Schnauzer Logic.
Thank you very much, Robin. I'm looking forward to it.
How do you know John?
Well, I'll give you the short version.
I guess there was a homosexual experience that nobody's talking about.
On a singles cruise.
Okay. I guess I was close.
I know. Funny story.
Oh, okay.
that's
the show. That's the and scene. All right. Thank you very much. All right. Well, listen. All right. So, okay.
By the way, I should tell you that Andrew is M.O.T. for those of you who care.
M.O.T.?
Yeah, M.O.T. You know M.O.T.
Member of the tribe?
Exactly.
I guess it means he's Jewish.
Well, you know. So anyways, no, we met on the singles cruise. None of us got laid, but we met each other. So it's a beautiful story.
It's a beautiful thing.
And right. Actually, the funny thing is I went on this cruise. It was not too long after my divorce, and I didn't meet any women, but I actually met four guys, all Jews. What are the odds of that?
So what you're saying is four Jewish guys are equal to one woman.
Exactly.
One Persian woman at that.
Well, at least something good came out of it.
Exactly.
And what do you do for a living, Andrew?
I'm a social worker. I work with special ed kids and adolescents that have a mental illness.
Okay. That sounds like it's probably a very rewarding career.
I think so. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, he gives me a lot of advice.
What?
He never takes it, but I give it.
That doesn't make any sense. All right. So did John explain to you the rules of this game?
No, not exactly.
All right.
I mean, I heard a couple of the podcasts on the computer.
I'm
but,
sorry.
If there's something I need to know.
Well, here we go.
Basically, what I told him is so far I'm 0-for-12.
Well, I think if we go back to the KSCO days, you're probably worse than that, right?
Well, I think it's been about a dozen. Total.
All right. And you're proud of that. You're looking to extend that streak is what I'm hearing you say
exactly.
to me today.
I do.
Yeah, by the way, I'm talking to you from Old Sacramento right now. If you hear, there's a steamboat going by.
Okay, thanks okay. for, yeah, that was great. No, because okay. we had a lot of momentum in the show, and
right.
that was great. Thanks. All right, by the way, I'm talking to you from my second bedroom right now where we have an air conditioner going in the background. So if you
okay.
hear...
I know you. Can you first tell me really quickly who's there?
Yes, oh, sure. Well, we sitting to my right here is our good friend and confidant, Parviz Vitali.
Hi, John.
Son of Vista.
I know Parviz.
Hey, John.
Son of Vista, boy.
John, can I just make an observation?
Can we stop you?
Can I make an observation?
Do we have a choice?
You seem so animated today, yeah. and I can only feel like this is like a gay lover that you're so excited to talk about. I've never seen you so animated, John, and every time he's talking, you're like, oh, my God, I got to cut in and butt in just like a little bitch.
Wow.
Well, you know what I think? I'm animated. I'm getting ready to go do a set in a little bit, so I'm trying to get amped up.
Little comedy tonight, is that right?
Yeah, a little comedy.
Ooh, a little Dakovan comedy.
Unlimited in Old Sacramento.
Wow, and what are you going to be talking about tonight, for example?
I have a whole new routine I'm doing on my new navigation system.
Oh.
I just bought a new navigation system.
Really? Sounds expensive. What time is it? No, wait. That'll make more sense to you after you listen back to the podcast.
So, you know, basically it's like, you know, the thing not only shows you where to go, but it tells you where to go.
Uh-huh.
But I turn that feature off because if I wanted someone to tell me where to go, I'd still be married.
Hold on.
Are you going to break out the bird? Ah, there you go.
All right. And also sitting with us today is my good friend, Sherry Stevens, son of Easton Sherry.
Son of Easton. Hi, John.
And Sean is... What?
Thanks, John.
What did he say?
It's a female. Blah, 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 blah.
All right, so the way it works is the best of 10 test of knowledge.
I don't want to sound too excited talking to her in case Helene listens to this later.
Okay.
Got it.
Helene
okay.
being
yeah.
your girlfriend.
Yeah.
Who you've been going out with now for almost a year, is that right?
Just celebrated the year.
That's,
yes,
congratulations.
Sir.
That is terrific. That,
thank you.
So she hasn't seen you naked yet is what you're saying.
We're getting there. We're close.
All right.
I can feel it.
And that's what she said. Okay, and scene. Thank you very much. Okay, so the way we play it is it's a best of 10 test of knowledge, which is to say we have 10 questions which have answers that you give to me, and whoever gets the most number of questions right is the winner of John DeCoven's money, which is generally zero, so it's the proud tradition of saying that you beat John DeCoven. If there's a tie, then we go to the tiebreaker round. You guys need pens and papers and stuff like that?
I need a pen.
Okay, you need a pen? All right, so Sherry's going to play along here. There we go. And unfortunately, we don't have the ability to put one of you on hold. So, John, you're going to go into the background so we can play the first round?
Yeah, I'll just put the phone down and check in every few minutes.
All right, so here we go. John, so...
So Andrew's going first.
All right, John, yeah, Andrew's going to go first. All right, we'll talk to you soon, John, all right?
Okay.
All right, very good. All right, John is a pussy. John is a pussy. John is a pussy. I must really be gone. Okay. All right, Andrew, whenever you're ready, let's have the word, and we'll start off with you. Ready?
I'm ready. Good.
All right, and 3, 2, 1. All right, here we go. What real-life lawman did Kevin Costner play in the 1987 movie The Untouchables?
Real life lawman. I have no idea.
All right. Let's see. Number 2. Which 20th century American president said, "It's amazing what you can accomplish if you don't care who gets the credit"? 20th century American president said that. It's amazing what you can accomplish if you don't care who gets the credit. Don't feel bad. John won't know these either.
Bill Clinton?
Nope, not right. Not Bill Clinton. Number 3. In November 1953, Playboy magazine published its very first issue. Who was the first centerfold? 1953, November. Playboy magazine. First issue. First centerfold.
Marilyn Monroe?
Absolutely correct. Very good. Number 4. All interstate highways that run coast to coast end in what number? Coast to coast, they end in what number? Nope, not 6. Okay, let's see. Question number 5. So we're almost halfway done. This two-player game is called Drafts in England. What's it called in the United States of America? Two-player game, it's called Drafts. Spelled D-R-A-U-G-H-T-S. In England, what's it more commonly known as in the United States of America?
Scrabble?
Nope. Sorry, that one's not right. Okay, now we're in the second half. Okay, what meat is in the German dish Wiener Schnitzel? What is the meat that is in the German dish Wiener Schnitzel?
Sausage?
Nope, not sausage. Okay, let's see. This state is nicknamed the Wolverine State.
Michigan.
Very good. All right, that's 2. Which of these 90s films was the first completely computer-generated feature? Was it The Lion King, Toy Story, A Bug's Life, or Ants? It's a multiple-choice question. We have never done that before. This is a big deal today, Andrew. We're doing multiple-choice questions. The Lion King, Toy Story, A Bug's Life, or Ants?
Lion King.
All right. Andrew said The Lion King. Not right. Okay, name the author of The Chamber, The Firm, The Client, and The Pelican Brief.
I know that.
Now you sound like John's friend.
Oh, I do know that. Wait a second.
Yeah, that's John.
The Firm. Hello?
Hello?
Well, I'm not done yet.
Not done yet. Yeah. Still Acopado. Chamber, The Firm, The Client, and The Pelican Brief. I'll give you a hint. His name has two names. Two words. Two word name. May have a middle name, but we never use it. We just call him blank, 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 blank. Oh, I told you it was him. Blank, blank.
Yeah.
Blank, blank, blank. Blank. Three syllables. Blank, blank, blank.
I can't remember.
We're going to give you a pass on that one. All right, no problem. And the final question today for you. Diamond and graphite are two forms of this same element. Diamond and graphite, two forms of the same element.
Two forms of the same element.
And it's not John Grisham. That's not the answer. It's not John Grisham.
It's not?
That's not an element.
A mineral?
It's an element. So one of the elements in the chart, like oxygen and helium and hydrogen. So diamond and graphite, two forms of the same element.
I don't know.
All right. That's fine. And we will call time.
Okay.
All right, great. So let's see. You got two right. You got Marilyn Monroe as the 1953 Playboy centerfold. Mm-hmm. And you also
got... Where are you guys at right now?
Hello?
Where are you guys at?
We're just done. I was just telling him the ones that he got right. But now that you're on the line, we won't tell him that. So you got two right, all right? Which is pretty good. Which is pretty good considering what's going on with John. So
wait, hold on. There's about...
Is Charles Lacquadere on the other line? You got a call waiting? It's Charles. Hello, Rangoon. Are you ready?
Yeah, no, I just got a little thrown off guard. There were about 30 14-year-old girls running by. Okay, I'm back.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, John, once again. Great. No, really, makes great radio. All right, whenever you're ready, we're just going to go here, okay?
Let's do it, baby.
All right, your buddy here, Andrew, got two right, so you need to beat two, which means you're probably going to lose. All right, here we go. In 3, 2, 1. All right, what real-life lawman did Kevin Costner play in the 1987 movie The Untouchables?
It was a gay guy. A gay FBI guy with the... Right. Edgar... go ahead, Mac.
All right. You're feeling better, aren't you, Andrew?
Not yet.
Right. I see already you're feeling better. Right. Which 20th century American president said, it's amazing... By the way, the answer to that question was Elliot Ness. Which 20th century American president said, it's amazing what you can accomplish if you don't care who gets the credit?
20th century.
That's all you heard.
20th century.
Roosevelt.
Roosevelt. No, it wasn't. It was Harry Truman. Okay. 1953 November, Playboy magazine published its first issue. Who was the first centerfold?
I should know this one. Centerfold or cover? Marilyn Monroe.
Very good. It, in fact, is Marilyn Monroe. Excellent. Okay. Question number 4. All interstate highways that run coast to coast end in what number? What number?
That run coast to coast?
Interstate highways?
I would say 5.
Okay, that's wrong. It's 0. Okay, this two-player game is called Drafts in England. What's it called in America? Two-player game called Drafts in England, spelled D-R-A-U-G-H-T-S. What is it called in America?
Two-player game?
What do you got, wax in your ear?
You going to repeat the question?
Two-player, tic-tac-toe.
Okay, that's wrong. It is checkers. What is the meat in the German dish Wiener Schnitzel?
Sausage?
Nope. But now I can see why you guys hooked up on the ship, boy. No, it is veal. Veal is the right answer.
Is that what he said?
The right answer is veal, yes.
Okay,
this state is nicknamed the Wolverine State. This state
Michigan.
That's right. It's Michigan. And let's see.
And I'm going to guess that he got that one right,
that's
too.
That's right.
Yes, he did.
Okay,
which of these 90s films was the first completely computer-generated feature? The Lion King, A Toy Story, A Bug's Life, and Ants.
Lion King, Toy Story,
Bug's Life, and Ants.
I'm going to say Ants.
Nope, that's wrong. It was A Toy Story.
Damn it.
let's see. Name the author of The Chamber, The Firm, The Client, and The Pelican Brief.
Okay, what question is this?
It's number 9.
Okay. We are witnessing history today.
Hold on.
This is almost like that guy on The Millionaire when he called on the last question for a lifeline, even though he knew he was going to win.
Uh-huh.
John Grisham. Hello?
Wow.
Hello?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is unprecedented. John DeCoven has actually won Win John DeCoven's money.
Let's see if it's a slaughter. Call off number 10.
All right,
hey, I still have one question to go. Let's make it a kill on you.
That's right. He still has a possibility of having an orgasm here. Right now, he's just hard. Okay, diamond and graphite are two forms of the same element. What is the element?
Well, I should know the graphite part because that's golf shaft. And I should know the diamond part because that's the part my ex-wife screwed me on.
Yeah, this means he has no fucking idea.
Diamond and graphite are part of what element? I have no idea.
Oh, that's good. I feel better. He restored my faith. The answer is carbon.
I was thinking that.
Hey, John, what's going on in the background with all the noise?
Well, I told you there's all these kids running around.
Yeah, you're at a car wash right now with a bunch of 13-year-olds cleaning your car, aren't you?
I had to tell people here, but they wouldn't understand this dramatic moment that just occurred.
Congratulations, Johnny.
Yeah, Johnny, congratulations. Andrew, the consolation prize is knowing that after 12 weeks, you only lost by one question.
Oh, thank you.
That's a pretty good consolation, considering that DeCoven really has had many, many chances to do it. And I think the Wolverine question was the easy one. See, if I'd asked this question, you guys wouldn't have known it. Let's see. Here's the tiebreakers.
There's no tiebreaker.
Shut the fuck up, dude. Now known as Yusuf Islam, this singer-songwriter is better known as...
Wait, say that again?
Now known as Yusuf Islam, this singer-songwriter is better known as...
Cat Stevens.
Well, yeah, you got that one right.
Wait, come on.
All right, hold on. All right, here's the other tiebreaker question. This distiller put Lynchburg, Tennessee on the map.
Ben Stiller?
No. And scene.
I don't know. I don't drink.
All right.
Coors is Colorado.
Yeah. And now John's going to tell us all the things that it's not. Hey, Johnny, where can people find out more about the comedy shows that you're doing?
Well, they can go to my website, laughalotproductions.com.
All right.
I can now safely announce that the new Tommy T's Comedy Club is opening in Pleasanton.
Very exciting.
Which will hopefully be in the next couple of weeks, and I'll be doing a showcase there every Tuesday.
Wow.
We'll have 6 to 10 comics. Maybe if Farvis wants to reemerge, we could get him on stage.
Very exciting.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
And so every week at Tommy T's, and I got a show at Massimo's in Fremont, so just check out the website.
All right.
And I have eclipsed the 100 mark on MySpace.
Very nice.
I'm at 102.
Something to be proud of.
Mazel tov.
That's right.
Exactly.
The fact that you were divorced, also something to be proud of.
Thank you.
Divorce and MySpace.
And I'm sorry I keep saying that, but it's just a habit.
Okay. Hey, listen, have a great show tonight, my friend.
Okay, thank you.
And Andrew, thanks so very much for playing Win John DeCoven's Money. You were a great contestant.
Johnny's first win.
Had a lot of fun. Thanks so much. We'll speak to you guys again.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Right. I'll call you later.
Bye-bye.
As soon as he finds out he's not going to talk to Andrew, he's like...
He's going to be fucking insufferable now. You know that, don't you?
No, he was just trying to downplay his man crush after you made that comment.
You know, I tell you, he giggled so much with Andrew the light. Like, oh my god, I love you.
All right, here's what we'll do. We'll take another break. We'll play another song from my mom's that my mom liked. So we've got some Bobby Darin, Della Reese, Engelbert Humperdinck. Should we play some Engelbert or should we play some Tom Jones?
Oh, Tom Jones.
Tom Jones. We'll play a little bit of Tom Jones. And then we'll come back. We'll be talking with Jason Nathanson.
Okay.
Very exciting story, all right? All right, you're listening to Schnauzer Logic, Robin Goldstein, Sherry Stevens, Parviz Vitali. We're all asking you to please... stick around.
the trouble around here. Talk, talk, talk. Oh, sometimes I think I must go mad.
We'll be back with more Schnauzer Logic.
It's not unusual to see me cry. I wanna die. It's not unusual to go out at any time. But when I see you out and about, it's such a crime. If you should ever wanna be loved by anyone, it's not unusual, it happens every day. No matter what you say, you'll find it happens all the time. Love will never do what you want to do. Why can't this crazy love be more? It's not unusual. You want to be mad with anyone. It's not unusual. You want to be sad with anyone. But if I ever find that you've changed at any time, it's not unusual. You were to find that I'm in love with you. Oh, 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 oh.
Hey kids, are you looking for an exciting career in the world of broadcasting?
Uh-huh.
But afraid you don't have the skills or talent to make it?
Uh-uh.
Well, now you don't need either. At the Parviz Vitali School of Broadcasting, we'll show you that going on the air is just as easy as breathing air. Just listen to what our founder has to say.
Because I think I just don't hang out with what's-his-nuts.
And if you act right now, you'll also learn sound effects. And impressions.
Andy!
So what are you waiting for? Join us today and your broadcasting career will be over tomorrow. The Parviz Vitali School of Broadcasting. Not associated with any real broadcasting school.
Welcome back. We're an hour and 29 minutes in this episode of Schnauzer Logic, the podcast. Robin Goldstein, Sherry Stevens, Parviz Vitali. That was for you. We haven't played in such a long time.
That is so funny.
That was really good.
Had you not heard that before?
No.
Oh,
we played that early on.
Very early. Yeah.
Week three and week four.
Yeah, something like that. Really early on.
It's
back
classic.
When I had the time to do actual production work.
It's classic.
Yeah.
So funny.
And what was so funny is initially it was going to be all three of us. Like, I found, you know, we were all making flubs. The first three or four shows, we made lots and lots of mistakes. And, you know, because we hadn't done radio in a very long time. And so I had a bunch from Sean. I had a bunch from me. We were all screwing up. But yours were musical. Yours were special. Little Yellow Bus special.
Sherry enjoyed that.
I did. That was good.
And this is how we'll be introducing you to those folks who were listeners of The Big Mattress, Charles Lacquadera's blog. We'll hear this show and they'll get a little flavor. All right.
Well, you could do a compilation of his potty humor, his potty talk.
My potty humor? Your mine?
Potty
Robin has the worst potty humor.
No, I mean, in bodily function potty.
Oh, that potty.
That's true.
Plumber talk.
All right. Now we do want to do some plumber talk. This is a jam-packed show today, so let's not waste any more time here. What we like to do on a weekly basis is check in with our good friend Jason Nathanson. We have not done that in about 6 weeks at this point. So
I thought Jason quit. I thought he went back home.
Well, we're going to have to find out what's going on. Let's play his tune and we'll bring him in.
Yeah.
What was funny about that? You've heard this for weeks.
No, it's been a long time.
Things around the world, from Vienna to Carolina, sticky fingered Filcher from Berlin down to Belize. Take you for a ride on a slow boat to China. Tell me, where in the world is the bald Jewish guy in the 1988 VW van? Flying around the globe.
Ah, the bald Jewish guy in the 1988 VW van, our good friend Jason Nathanson, son of Easton, my friend. Welcome to Schnauzer Logic.
You're just going to play Hamster Dance with no introduction, nothing said about Hamster Dance, and that's acceptable?
What are you talking about?
Song coming in, Hamster Dance.
I mean, was just coming back from the Parviz Vitali School of Broadcasting, that's all.
Hamster Dance.
that he liked. Oh man! So Jason, for people who know, we'll get it right out in the open. It's a randomshow.blogspot.com. Jason has been driving cross country now for 6 months, and I spoke to you last night. And you told me that when we talked to you today, you were going to be in Montreal, Canada. So right now you're in Montreal, Canada.
Yeah. Hey. As they say up here.
Are you in Montreal? You're in Montreal, right?
Are you in Montreal?
Quebec. You're in Quebec. You're in Canada. Is that right? You're in Canada? You crossed the border into Canada? Are you in Canada?
No,
we speaking in Canada? So where you are? Are you in Canada?
No, I'm really? In Maine.
Well,
still.
Maine. Poland Springs coming to you straight from Maine. Well, I thought you were going to be in Canada. What happened, dude?
I didn't have a lot of luck getting into Canada. Yesterday, I was driving on Route 201, which is a small route coming up into Canada. I get to the border, and the guy takes my license, looks at me, says, okay, pull over there. We want to search your car. Figure that's fine, routine, no problem. You know, I'm in a big van. It deserves to be searched. I go into the little search area. Two guards come out, and they start searching the van. And now, they're not just kind of looking in it with flashlights and things like that. They're going into every drawer, every crevice. I mean, Robin, you saw the van.
I did.
A week or so ago. You know, it's a big van, and there's lots of little cubby holes and things like that.
Sure.
And they're ripping the thing apart. They're going through everything. But I'm standing in front of the van watching this with a little amusement, thinking, fine, go ahead. No problem. There's nothing in there that they're going to find. A couple from Tennessee pulls up next to me, and their car is being searched as well. So we're sitting there talking about road trips and things like that. I'm telling them what I'm doing. They're very interested, having a nice conversation. And in the middle of the conversation, I start to remember that when I started the trip, somebody had given me...
Wow. How incredibly stupid. So let me talk to you here. So since last time we spoke to you, what Parviz said was last time we spoke to you, you had gone back to California. And in the last 6 weeks, you've effectively made it cross country and have become an international fugitive, which is very sexy for the ladies.
Pretty much.
So people can read all about what you've done, and I obviously don't want to try to recap 6 weeks' worth of stuff because they can read all about it on your blog. It's a randomshow.blogspot.com. Also, you do you did weekly interviews with Rosemary at KSCO, and there's links over there as well. We've taped all those shows, so you'll be able to listen to all of those things. It seems to me, though, that the one place, because, I mean, there's lots of great stories, but it seems to me that New York City really spun your head around. I got the sense that you felt like maybe I could actually live in New York for a while.
I did, as long as they pick up the whole city of New York and move it to Los Angeles. That would be the perfect solution. Because New York is such a big city, and it's such a walking city, that it seems a shame that it's a place you can walk around only for, you know, a couple weeks a year easily. The rest of the time it's really hot, or it's really humid, or it's snowing, or, you know, it's a pain in the ass. So if you pick it up and move it to L.A., where you can walk around 365 days a year, that would be perfect.
What did you do in New York that was... You were there for about a week.
I was there for 5 days, and I was really a tourist. I mean, you know, I went to see, because I've never been there before, and that's the point of a lot of this trip, is going places I've never been. And so you hear a lot about New York. You know, for 28 years, I've heard that it's such the greatest city in the world, and a lot of places have failed to live up to their reputation. So when a place like New York does, it's got some extra power there, because I went and I saw the Empire State Building and you know, did all the tourist stuff most people do, but just the energy of the city and walking around at 10 o'clock at night, going to Bryant Park and playing chess with a Nigerian immigrant, you know, just things like that that don't happen anywhere else.
What was the most surprising experience that you had in New York?
The efficiency, cleanliness, and ease of use of the subway system. I had no problem getting around the city. I had no problem figuring it out. It was always clean. It was nice and air-conditioned. It was never really crowded. There weren't, you know, strange people trying to breathe on you. I found it really pleasurable. And, you know, you hear a lot about how horrible New York is in the subway. And all the people were really nice and friendly and helpful and interested, which is another thing you hear, that people just walk really fast with their head down in New York and don't want to talk to you. But I found the exact opposite to be the case.
You think would you think about settling there? Any place along the way that you've, because you've now been basically coast to coast and then up to Canada, not actually across the border. So it's kind of like sex. You got right to entrance.
I have Canadian blue balls right now, basically.
you got right to the brink, and yet nothing. So what we're basically saying is that you're a Quebecois virgin at this point. Still, you've maintained your you're saving yourself for marriage. Did you go to Niagara Falls?
No, I'm saving that for after I go to Boston. I'm going to go and then probably try to go back into Canada at that point.
Gotcha. So is there any place that you've seen so far that you think, well, maybe I'd like to live there for a few years?
New York would definitely be, if the right opportunity came along, mm-hmm. I could see myself living there. I think it would still be hard. I mean, because it's such a big city and it's so expensive that I'd have to get a really good job. But I could definitely see living there because it would take that long to just really explore the city well enough.
Mm-hmm.
I was really impressed by the Smoky Mountains and the Blue Mountains in North Carolina and South Carolina. Really, it was gorgeous there, and I could see myself living on a river. The Amish country, the Pennsylvania farm area, was also really nice. I have a dream in the back of my head of starting an organic farm and moving there, and, you know, I could see myself living there. Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
And so... We run long on the show today, so we're going to let you get back onto where you are. So what happens in the next week now? I mean, you've been jam packed.
I go to Boston by Friday, and then I start heading back west, Niagara Falls, and then my next big stop after there will probably be Chicago.
Are you ready to come home?
Yes and no. It's getting a little repetitive and monotonous. Staying every night in campground.
Not today it wasn't, dude.
No. The last day was definitely interesting. But, you know, I'm ready to see Boston and Chicago, and then, yeah, I'm ready to slowly make my way back home.
And you given any thought what you're going to do once school's back in again?
Yeah, I thought I would be a little more at a decision at this point, but I'm still not. No
All right.
idea.
Well, people can make suggestions, right? All right.
I hope so.
Jason, we love you, my friend. Listen, whatever you do, just be fucking careful, all right? Don't be stupid. I told you not to be stupid, you moron.
And I'm glad the show's back up, Rob.
Hey, thanks very much. It's a pleasure. It's great to see you in New York, and we'll be on the air with you again next week, all right?
And thanks for the place to stay in New York. Talk to you next week.
All right. Take care, my friend.
Okay.
Bye-bye. All right. We'll take another break. We'll come back. A little plumbing update.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll finish the show. How's that sound?
It's a big plumbing update.
It is? Well, maybe I have to run long then.
Yeah.
All right. You ever bring...
We'll talk about it.
All right. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein. Sherry Stevens. Parviz Vitali. No artificial flavors. Just fun. Back on the other side.
Viva, viva, viva la radio.
Stick around for more Schnauzer Logic.
Oh, the shark bait has such teeth, dear. And it shows them pearly white. Just a jackknife has old Maggie Heath, babe.
and it keeps it out of sight. You know when that shark bites with his teeth big, scarlet billows start to spread. Fancy gloves though wears old Maggie Heath, babe, so there's never, never a trace of red. Now on the sidewalk, ooh, Sunday morning, lies a body just oozing life. And someone sneaking round a corner, could that someone be Mac the Knife? There's a tugboat down by the river, don't you know, where a cement bag just drooping on down. Oh, that cement is just, it's there for the weight, dear. Five will get you 10, old Mackie's back in town. Not to hear about Louis Miller, he disappeared, babe, after drawing out all his modern cash. And now Maggie Heath spins just like a sailor. Could it be our boy's done something rash? Jenny Diver, Rose, Sookie, Tawdry, look out to Miss Lottie Lenya and old Lucy Brown. Yes, that line forms on the right, babe, not that Maggie's back in town.
Stories.
Crack me up.
Oh, yeah.
They're funny.
Keeps me entertained.
Funny, funny comedy.
Those tree-hugging sissies.
And now your host, Brian Cox.
This is Road Stories of the Real Highway Comics. Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Cox. And let's talk about some of the accommodation that's supplied to comics while they're on the road. You know, there's a joke that some comics tell. You see, a comic dies and he goes to heaven. St. Peter says to him, "Welcome. You have two shows a night, a packed room, free meals, all you can drink for free, and then a big TV appearance. What do you say to that?" The comic goes, "Wow, this is heaven. But St. Peter, where am I staying?" St. Peter replies, "Oh, hang on." He picks up the phone and says, "Hello, Satan?" Now the story. The story of a comic who really didn't change his act that much, and a hotel. Now, far be it from me to say that agents are cheap. But this agent had his office in a hotel, if you could call it that. It's since been torn down. It had to be. It was condemned. Anyway, he would put the comics up there. Dan the comic had just got back to the city. And this city, by the way, had like over 1 million people in it. So, you know, there was good hotels to pick from. But no. Anyway, 2 weeks on the road, this guy's a bit tired. All he wanted to do is lay down and have a nap. So he checked in. And it just so happens he chatted with the front desk clerk, which, by the way, was a woman who had a very, very short... sharp wit and sharp, sharp tongue to boot. Anyway, they chatted for a while. Dan got his key. Then the agent spotted him down the hallway, called Dan into his office, and started grilling him about the shows. "Hey, buddy, how was the management? How were the crowds? You know," and anyway, Dan just told him, "Look, I gotta rest. I gotta perform in 4 hours. Anyway, Dan went into his room, and like every comic does, check the bed. He whipped down the big top sheet, and there he was faced with a huge red spot. in the middle of the bed. He was so disgusted, he stormed down to the front desk with the sheet and goes, "What kind of crap is this? Does this look clean? It looks like a damn Japanese flag." Anyway, the front desk lady, very cool, very calm, said, "Dan, I've seen your act. It hasn't changed that much. You know, we only have one set of sheets for that room. Do you expect us to change them every day?" Dan ran upstairs to the agent's office and was moved to a different hotel. By the way, Dan ended up in the military. I've often wondered if he was in charge of flags. Anyway, that's enough dirty laundry. That's it for Road Stories of the Real Highway Comics. I'm Brian Cox.
More fun than flushing the toilet while your spouse is in the shower.
Ah! Oh, sorry.
Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. 53 minutes into the second hour of Schnauzer Logic, the podcast. Robin Goldstein. www.schnauzerlogic.com, S-C-H-N-A-U-Z-E-R-L-O-G-I-C.com. Sean Meehan is not here today, and we didn't have a chance to talk to him.
Yeah.
Parviz Vitali is here today. We didn't have a chance to talk to him either. Sherry Stevens is here today. We've talked to her just a little bit. Are you, you're itching to get to a plumbing update?
Well, I have to say this.
You have to say this?
Yeah.
All right. So we should play your theme song, I guess,
right? Yeah, sure, whatever.
All right, hold on. All right, well, let's fade out what we got going on here, because people have not heard this in a while. We may have some new listeners as a result of the...
Yeah, I'll recap.
Okay, fine.
If you don't mind.
No, hell, far be it from me to try to cut you off, my friend. Hold on a second, here we go.
My dog is a plumber. He must be a boy.
Oh, that's not right.
Although I must tell you, his favorite toy is a little play stove with pans and with pots, which he really must like, because he plays with it lots. So perhaps he's a girl, which kind of makes sense, since he can't throw a ball and he can't climb a fence. But neither can Dad, and I know he's a man. And Mom is a woman, and she drives a van. Maybe the problem is in trying to tell just what someone is by what he does well.
When the ice comes and the snow, and it's 48 below, and then the temperature begins to fall, and they hear the moan and whine of the frozen water line, then the plumber is the man who saves them all. Oh, the plumber is the man, the plumber is the man. Down into the cellar he must crawl, he must crawl. He is not sleek or slim, and they all look down on him, but the plumber is the man who saves them all.
Well, my friend.
Oh.
By the way, for those affiliates along the line, we're going to run a little long today.
I'll be as quick as possible.
No. Take your time.
All right. Let me just get through this.
Does it involve weed?
No. Back in April,
yes?
I started a new career as a commercial plumber. Before that, for 12 years, I worked at Safeway, a grocery store. In the last 2 years at Safeway, I was in the dairy department. So last April, I started a brand new career. I studied hard and I worked hard to become a commercial plumber. And every week, I was going to my job and I'd come onto this podcast and pretty much tell you how terrible it was.
Yeah.
Okay. And
What you did on a weekly basis was explain to us that you knew nothing.
I knew nothing, and I was dealing with the manager who was just a pain in the butt.
Foreman, manager,
yeah,
whatever, I guess.
Foreman, manager. I worked with him every day. 2 weeks after the last podcast that we had, I had a huge blowout with this manager.
Really?
Huge. To the point where I told him to F off, and I wasn't going to put up with this crap anymore. He told me to go home, that I was out of line. And he sent me termination papers.
Wow.
And the union got a hold of also the termination papers as well, and they terminated me.
Holy shit.
I was on probation, and this was uncalled for. So.
Wow. When was this? A month ago?
No, this, because it's been 6 weeks since the podcast. So about a month ago, I got a big blowout with the guy, and that was it. So
you were terminated.
Yeah, it was bad, Robin. It was really, really bad. So he sends me termination papers. The termination papers go to the union, and they all as well just tell me that I'm no longer part of the plumbing union and that I was on probation, and that's it. That's the end of my run.
Holy shit.
So I go back to Safeway and with my tail between my legs, and I talk to my manager, and he says that he goes, yeah, you can work here again, but you can't get back your dairy department. You got to start off as a bagger and work your way up. So I took it. I needed a job. So I went back as a bagger. I went down to like $7 an hour.
Well, you know, they say baggers can't be choosers.
Yeah. So I went back as a bagger, and humiliating as it is, everybody knows that I went as a plumber. I didn't succeed, and I came back as a bagger. I lost all my status there, and so I've been teased and all this stuff. And the worst part of everything that I'm telling you right now,
yeah,
is Melanie has no idea. As soon as she hears this podcast, she will. For the last 4 weeks, I've
Holy
been
shit.
Lying to her, and I've been telling her I've been going to
Is that
work
why you dress this way?
I've been telling her I've been going as a plumber, but actually I've been going to work at Safeway, right? And every day I'd come home and have to change my clothes because I'm so ashamed, and she would probably be so pissed.
Are you punking us?
No. So So I knew I'd be on this podcast telling you the story, and I knew she would listen to it. So she's going to hear this, and I just wanted to say I'm totally sorry, and I feel terrible. It's just I was so ashamed. I didn't know how to tell her.
Wow. I'm so sorry to hear this, man.
Yeah. And it sucks because, you know, I prided myself on you know, taking a great opportunity, and here I am, and it just sucks. And, of course, I bullshitted this whole last 3 minutes. Everything's going great. Everything's going great.
The gun's not loaded.
I
Robin,
was starting to cry, and I was going to go hug you.
No, Robin, the last 6 weeks, I have been kicking ass, and this guy has taken me out to lunch. This guy loves me.
So talk to me about how you've been, because I can't talk to him anymore.
Everything's going great.
No, I don't want to hear you.
Everything's going great.
I guess I've turned Sherry's mic off as well. So, all right, whatever. I'll even turn my mic off. God damn.
Everything's going awesome.
How long were you planning that?
Like 2 minutes before.
Really?
I knew it had to be exciting. And honestly, I have nothing dramatic to say. Since the last podcast, the manager I've had problems with, I've done so
well.
Here's
the thing. Both of us, we actually found it very believable. What you should understand is the reason that we're like, it's like, oh my God, we knew he was a fucking loser, but we didn't think he would self-destruct so quickly. We figured maybe he'd make it a year and then he'd have a little seniority, but neither one of us actually figured that you were going to be able to make it. So, good for you.
Yeah. No, I'm still a commercial plumber, and I've been doing really well. I've been getting really good feedback from my bosses, the higher bosses. And they're really happy with me. And like I said, I've gone out to lunch with this guy. He's a nice, decent guy.
Yeah.
I don't hang out with him outside of work, but he's invited me to lunch a couple times. And we BS'd about our life and stuff like that. And he's really impressed with how I've been doing. And I've had absolutely
no problem.
So what's
changed?
They put me into a department where I had to put together heater and air conditioners, okay? And they put me they stuck me there. And I got really good at it. And I got so much better than a journeyman. And because I'm such cheap labor, they love me.
Oh, okay.
So they're like, wow, you're producing more than a journeyman would. And we don't expect this of you because you've only been in the trade for now 3 months.
You don't know anything.
I don't know anything. So I've almost like found my little niche where I'm producing well. And now the upper management they've come up to me and shaken my hand. They said, we've heard you're doing really well. We're really happy with you. Thank you so much. Well, I'm like, yeah, no problem. And I think so it's been a really, really, really good like last month.
That is terrific.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I have nothing bad to say, and I bullshitted the whole story. I just did it for effect.
Motherfucker. Really?
I was all ready to give you advice. Like, she's not going to be mad. She'll be supportive.
I know, and I was going to say, maybe we should call her on the phone now. Yeah, we should get her on the line.
But can you imagine? I'm like, I've been lying to her for 4 weeks.
Well, look, you're such a loser. We all bought into it.
I bought it.
Yeah, when we all bought into it, I mean, it's nice that you kind of punked us, but you should really think about the fact that we're willing to buy this. It's like, Parviz, he's fucking self-destructive freak, you know, yelling at his boss, cursing him out. That sounds about right. He argued with Bob Lamb. He's fighting with Bob Lamb. Hey, listen, Bob. Hey, Bob. And Bob is like, oh, my God, what did I get myself into here? Listen, son, have you thought about electrical work? Maybe I hear the concrete trades need somebody to mix a little bit of cement. Jesus. All right, so you're proud of yourself. So how much longer do you stay on this? Well, get closer to the mic. How much longer do you get to stay at this particular site? Because, I mean, you've been there for quite a while now, so how long is this?
Yeah, about 4 weeks now.
All right.
Yeah, it could change next week. I'm just going, honestly, it's weird. It's like I just go day by day.
Is that right?
Yeah, day by day.
All right. Well, it's not nearly as interesting, actually, when we thought that maybe you completely self-destructed your life. But, all right.
And I didn't know how to keep a straight face.
Well, here's the thing. While you're doing that, I'm thinking to myself, I got rid of all the music for for your dairy update. Like, I got rid of all the dairy stuff. I'm thinking, oh, shit, where the hell the dairy sounds? I got the cow and shit. Like,
Find some new bagger music.
I got to go find all the bagger. Yeah, and I use my good line, my baggers can't be choosers line.
Yeah.
All right. I hope you're proud of yourself. Are you? You're really happy with yourself.
Oh, I love that Sherry fell for it. That's great.
All right.
You know, it's weird. It's Robin had no sympathy. Okay. Well, it's another week. And
what can I tell you?
Sherry's ready to give me a hug. Sherry is ready to console me.
Hey, listen, I'm busy bailing Jason out of prison.
You're smoking his weed, aren't you?
I can't be everywhere at once. I got to be in Canada. Gotta be bailing.
I'm sorry, I have nothing exciting to say about my
evidence.
Job.
Recovering evidence. Well, good for you. So what you're basically saying is you got nothing to tell us in the coming weeks now.
Well, I mean, so far, no. I'm getting along with everybody.
That's wonderful. Yeah, and are you socializing with these guys now?
Yes.
So you're having lunch with them occasionally.
I'm having lunch with these people. I'm having my breaks with these people.
Banging their wives.
These people actually think I'm funny.
Anybody? Well, that's not hard to believe.
Well, because, no, but at this job, there ain't much laughter going on. Because everybody's so serious and everybody's just doing their job.
Well, sure. I mean, it's what you do is life and death, my friend.
We've had already two accidents in the last 2 weeks at our job site.
Really?
A guy sliced his finger to the tendon, and another guy sliced his arm. So I'm just watching all my P's and Q's, my Parvies and Queens.
Okay.
I couldn't think of a word with the start of P's and Q's.
So why did you
start Parvies? Q, I thought, queer? No.
Why'd you go there?
Because I was...
You could have just stopped with P's and Q's.
I could have. But then I thought I'd throw that for the audience member who's thinking, oh, what would start with a P and a Q?
Less is more.
Can't wait for next week.
Yeah, me too.
This was fun.
You gonna?
I'll do my best.
Okay.
I'm happy you're doing the podcast again.
Yeah, me too.
I am too.
Thanks. I'm happy I'm doing it as well.
Yeah.
It's not hard to get back into it again. All right. Tell you what we'll do. We'll take a break. We'll play another bit of tunage. We'll come back. We'll do like a quick summer movie wrap-up. Sort of a midsummer movie kind of thing going on here. I haven't had a chance to watch a lot of television. You had asked me about...
Last Comic Standing.
I have not watched any of those. I've been watching The Closer, but that's like almost over. That's a summer mid-season replacement. The Kathy Griffin, My Life in the D-List, that finished last night. I mean, they're short series. Rescue Me, Dennis Leary, maybe the most brilliant fucking thing on television.
Wow.
Absolutely, maybe the most brilliant fucking thing on television. I mean, it's just, it takes the story to the edge every goddamn time. It's the one thing that I watch on my TiVo where I'm not doing anything else. And if I catch myself like drifting to something else, I'll stop myself and back it up again so that I'm just watching that show.
Wow.
I mean, it's really brilliant. But sort of those are like the quickie things that I just like TiVo to keep me going at night. But movies will be kind of interesting. So you've seen a bunch of stuff, and you and I have seen a couple of things, and there's more stuff coming up, right? Some big, a lot of blockbusters have opened already.
Mm-hmm. Dead Man's Hairy Chest, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Okay.
Oh, now you lost me.
No, they think you're hysterical on the plumbing side, right?
I just threw that in.
They think you're hysterical for a plumber. All right.
And what was Jason pissed off about the hamster dance? I don't understand
that. I had no idea.
Where did that come from?
What is the hamster dance?
I don't know.
I think he's hearing a different song.
You think?
Yeah.
All right.
He's like, oh, I love that hamster dance.
He called me earlier today and he goes, dude, I got arrested. And I thought, oh, would Parviz put you up to this? Is that what's going on? He goes, no, really, I got arrested. And it's like, it's not my weed, man. He goes, that's what I said to him. Oh, God. That would have just destroyed me. That would have just destroyed me.
He handled it well, though. You just don't. You don't piss off the cops. You just
no. You cop to it.
Yeah.
I mean, you go, hey, I made a mistake. Somebody gave it to me, and you know, when I was traveling, it's been so long since I've flown anywhere that I had like knives and a cigarette lighter that I use for actually baking my own chicken, and they confiscated all that stuff from me. You know, going through security, you're not allowed to have any of that stuff in your luggage or anything like that. Like, what the fuck? I'm gonna be fucking MacGyver? Meanwhile,
nobody wants to see you, F. MacGyver.
Meanwhile, I keep a razor blade in my cell phone, a straight razor blade in my cell phone case, because it's a piece of steel that I use to keep the cell phone connected to the car. I have a magnet on the dashboard of my car, and so because the cases are now plastic, I have a steel razor blade that's underneath it. I went through security, I don't know, four times, eight times, nothing. They took the fucking lighter from me, right? A Bic lighter they took from me, but they left me with a razor blade.
Do you take off your cell phone and put it in a dish?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Of course.
And they didn't see it, huh?
Apparently not.
Huh.
Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Maybe now people who listen to this... All right, we'll erase that. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back on the other side, and we'll talk a little bit of stuff and get out of here. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic, Robin Goldstein, Sherry Stevens, Harvey Spitali, and you. Last segment, stick around.
I think you're a refreshing gay boy.
Schnauzer Logic. love again.
Uninterrupted direct digital feed straight from the pleasure zones of your brain.
All night long.
What the hell is this?
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Well, the microphone snuck up on me. Welcome back. We're over the 2 hour mark. This show ran a little long today because, it's our first show back.
Yes.
And we kind of broke format with Charles Lacquadera. By the way, if Charles is an amazingly talented guy, and you want to go over to his website, it is www.bigmattress.com. And that was the show that he used to do in Boston. It was called The Big Mattress. It's the name of the show that he's doing at the little FM station in Hawaii. And he does this daily show on WBOS in Boston. Both of those you can listen to on the web. As a podcast and streaming as well, which are pretty interesting. But I was unexpected. I didn't expect Charles to call in. You know, I wasn't able to get him earlier on, so kind of threw it off a little bit. But that's all right. We'll kind of get back to the room in the next week, and hopefully Sean will be able to join us again next week. So there you go. We were just talking during the break how you punked us, my friend. You spoofed us. You punked us.
I did my best to keep a straight face.
You fatalied us.
I fatalied you.
All right, so summertime, big time for movies, right? Blockbusters and things of that nature. A lot of blockbusters have already opened this summer. Probably the biggest one was the Pirates of the Caribbean, right? The second film.
How about Superman?
Superman. Well, which one opened with the biggest? Which one is?
Oh, Pirates kicked butt.
The biggest opening ever, right?
Yes.
I mean, it beat everything.
Which is amazing, isn't it?
It's beaten everything. Now, have you seen it?
No.
Okay.
Have I don't you care
seen
to
it?
See it.
No. No, your kids seen it?
My kids have seen it.
And what'd they think?
They said it was just like Pirates of the Caribbean.
Really? Just merely adequate.
Yeah.
What do you think then it's been, and Superman opened to sort of media, did you see that?
Yes, I did.
And what'd you think?
You know what? I walked out on it.
Really?
Yes. An hour into the movie, I was bored to tears.
Now we don't believe you anymore.
No, I'm being very serious.
Yeah, fuck you.
No.
Did you see it? You can't get me twice.
Did you see it?
You can't fake me out twice.
Did you see it?
No, but I don't fucking believe you anymore.
No. Honestly.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Honestly.
Yeah, yeah. The roof is on fire. Yeah, yeah.
But
right.
One I did stick around for, which was mediocre, was You, Me, and Dupree.
So that's the new one with Owen Wilson,
uh-huh.
Who's been like everything this summer. He was in Cars, mm-hmm. And he's been in a ton of different films. Owen Wilson is sort of, for me now, is taking on the...
Jim Carrey?
Jim Carrey or Will
Ferrell?
Will Ferrell or Ben Stiller. Way overexposed at this point.
Yeah.
I think a little goes a long way. What do you think of Me, You, and Dupree?
It was okay. It wasn't hilarity. It wasn't nearly as funny as Wedding Crashers, but it was okay.
Now, we've seen a bunch of things this summer. Right, well, we saw a few things together, I think.
Nacho Libre.
We saw Nacho Libre, which was mucho awful.
Except for your...
My laughing.
You're laughing.
Which was okay. That's the Jack Black thing. I was really looking forward to that.
I can't even remember what it was that you were laughing about. Do you remember what it
yes,
was?
Yes, when he baptized the guy against his will. He baptizes the guy against his will. And the motion of his hands and his head was so funny. Because Jack Black is a physical comedian. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really what he does well is the physical comedy. He's a clown, really. I mean, in the best sense of the word. And so that was a clown move that made me laugh. That was that by itself was a perfect little setup and a delivery. But the rest of the movie was just really, really boring. I saw The Devil Wears Prada. Did we see that? No, I saw that with another friend of mine.
I heard it was pretty bad.
It was horrible. And the book was great.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, you read the book.
Yes.
I sort of forced you to get through the book after we didn't want to listen to it the first time through because it's so painful.
It is painful.
And I said, no, you got to do it because
I had to hang in there.
It becomes wonderful at this point.
It did.
All of the things that make the book wonderful are missing from the movie. In order for the story to really work, she has to be a terror in order for the passive-aggressive nature of her assistant to really play out. But she's not a terror in the movie, so the assistant isn't passive-aggressive, so it's just kind of a young girl coming-of-age story, which is like, who the fuck cares? It's boring. Cars, did you see Cars?
Nope.
Saw Cars. Did you see Cars? I love Pixar. Everybody I've talked to who's seen Cars have all said the same thing. They go, oh my God, it was beautiful. And I'm thinking, okay, whenever you discuss how beautiful a picture is, now you're missing the point that the story was no good. It was not the best Pixar film that I've seen. Was it beautiful? Yeah, absolutely beautiful. It was magnificently done. The most advanced kind of animation that I've ever seen. But the story was lacking.
You know, one of the things that I remember about reading an interview with John Lasseter, who's the guy who started Pixar, was after he started doing the films, he realized he didn't know how to tell stories. He knew about technology, but he didn't know stories. So he took the story class by Robert McKee, the guy who teaches story down in Los Angeles. I've taken that class. Sean took it with me years ago. And that teaches you about classic storytelling. And really, the key is, you know, in 10 words or less, is the resolution of every conflict needs to be another resolution. So as you're telling the story, every time something is resolved, that results in another conflict. So you have conflict resolved into conflict resolved into conflict, and that's what drives the story forward until the final resolution, which makes everybody breathe a sigh of relief. The best stories have that. The Cars movie didn't. So what happened is you had conflict, it was resolved, and then the cars were just driving around. That's not a story. That's just driving around. I don't need a movie to do that for me. Boring. Didn't really enjoy that at all. This weekend, I saw the new film by Richard Linklater, who did School of Rock with Jack Black. It's called A Scanner Darkly. Have you seen the previews for this? It's with Keanu Reeves and Robert Downey Jr. and Winona Ryder and Woody Harrelson. So you think to yourself, oh my God, what a great story. It's kind of animated. Like they shot it with a DV camcorder and then they painted over every frame to give it that kind of weird thing. It's based on a Philip K. Dick novel, you know, on a science fiction kind of thing. I fell asleep. if I were more awake, I would have walked out. I was just too tired to get up and leave. It was kind of difficult to sit through. And I love all of the characters, and I love the story. The animation was sort of distracting. Didn't help the story. It was just... So, like, I keep waiting for something. Now, what's opening this weekend is the Kevin Smith film, right? Clerks 2.
Clerks 2.
I love Kevin Smith. I'm willing to give him... But same thing. Reviews are already coming in, and it's like... What have you seen that you've liked this summer so far, or what are you waiting to see?
That was the only film that I've seen this summer.
Really?
Yes.
Nothing rental? Nothing?
No.
Really?
I haven't
seen... Summer's a big time for movies. What's going on?
I'm busy.
Did you see Superman?
No, didn't see Superman.
Okay.
No. I'm looking forward to... I mean, I'd be looking forward to it because I think Kevin Spacey as Lex Luthor is an interesting choice because he is evil.
Yeah.
So that really works for me. Did it work for you?
No.
Really?
Honestly, I walked out.
So what's the best thing you've seen this summer?
Gosh, the best thing I've seen? Jiminy Glick in La La Wood.
No.
It was so bad, it was funny.
Really?
I rented it, yeah. It was bad. It was bad.
That's too bad.
I just rented it. I haven't seen it yet. It was Capote.
That's good.
Yeah.
I saw that in the theater. Anything you want to see? Anything you're waiting for? Because, you know, there's warning in... We're still in July. I mean, we got a bit of time to go.
I can't... the new Will Ferrell movie looks pretty good.
Oh, Talladega Nights.
Yeah, yeah. You don't like Will Ferrell.
No.
Okay. Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Legend of Ricky Bobby.
Yeah.
How about you? What are you looking forward to? Anything on your radar?
No, because I haven't really been to the movies. I don't know what's going, you know, what's playing, and I haven't seen the trailers, so I have a clean slate. But I do want to see the Will Ferrell movie.
Really?
That man has no shame.
No, he doesn't. He will strip down to his tidy whities and run around and
or not.
But isn't
just
that
strip down?
But how is that acting?
It's not.
Okay.
He's just a goofball.
All right,
a few days ago, I saw on TV Face Off with John Travolta and Nicolas Cage.
Sure.
John Travolta is a fabulous actor, isn't he?
He in the right role, he's terrific.
Yeah, in Face Off, he was awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome, awesome. I mean, the way he got the mannerisms of Nicolas Cage was great. And Nicolas Cage did a great job. It was just a really, really well-done movie, I thought.
So rentals is what you're saying you're doing.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. Wasn't really
a
trick question.
Actually, there's nothing truly exciting out in the movie theaters.
That's too bad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I usually look forward to the summertime and it's hot and you go inside and everything gets cooled down and, you know, you can just kind of escape. And there's really nothing going on there.
Yeah, I don't think anything exciting is coming out
either.
It's
too bad.
Except next week's podcast. That's about the most exciting thing coming out.
There you go. All right. You're going to be able to be here for next week's podcast?
I'll do my very best.
And you,
see. You know, usually I have these conference calls.
I know.
You know, I had a
great
breather. It was great not to have it, but we'll see.
Well, it's great to be behind the microphone with my friends. You know, I was telling some folks what I do, you know, that we do this podcast, and that along the way what I realized was it was a chance to have a play date, you know, as an adult. It's hard to believe. I'm going to be 49 in another couple of months. I don't feel 49. Like, I don't know how old Charles Lacordaire is. I'm guessing he must be pushing up on 60. He's probably about 10 years older than I am, right? So he must be in his late 50s, I'm guessing. But to listen to him on the phone, he doesn't sound like it. I mean, his voice is not... He hasn't gotten the old man voice. I don't expect to get the old man, old lady voice either. You know, like, it's just not going to happen, right? And your mind doesn't work that way, and so...
So I can still have play dates. The only thing is, with my mom gone, I feel like I can't be a kid anymore.
Yeah.
Right? That's the thing. Because as long as my mom was alive, I could be a goof. But now she's gone, I feel like, oh shit, now I have to be like an adult. Like, somebody has to be responsible. She's not around to be responsible anymore, so it's kind of my responsibility. So that sucks.
Yeah.
That sucks.
And I remember being a kid when your parents were 50. That was old.
Yeah.
That was old.
But it's different.
It's different.
Their expectation of what it meant to be 50 was very different.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they were looking at retirement issues and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. We're just looking for a job. At this point. At 50, I think there truly are people looking for a job.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't settled on a career yet. I'm thinking to myself, well, shit, if you don't have that job in the plumbers union, maybe there's an opening for me. That was why I was so silent. I thought, shit, if he's back at Safeway, I could do what he did. And I look good in shorts. All right. Well, listen, I want to thank you guys for being here. I want to thank everyone out there for listening to the program and sending, again, all of your words of love and encouragement. Really appreciate it. Until next week, I miss you, Mom, and I miss you, Dad. I love you both. Show up. Pay attention, tell the truth, and don't be attached to the outcome. Have yourself a great week, and we'll see you next week. Take care. I love you all. Bye-bye.
This is over now, and you just got to deal with it.
I want you to know it's over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
It's over, Harvey. I'm sorry. I need to get on with my life.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.